Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Happy Christmas to everyone. Welcome to the people here in church. Welcome to those joining via the web camera, and to anyone who happens to listen in at a later date. I hope Christmas will be a happy one for you all. And if you're facing Christmas with sadness, feeling alone or lonely, I hope the peace of Christmas is in you and surrounds you today. So we just take a few minutes to say hello to the people around you. You know, we don't often do this, but it's nice to do it and wish everyone a happy Christmas. And in a slight change, we're going to start off with our first carol, and it's Deck the Halls with Boughs of Holly. For those maybe who haven't been here for a while and are wondering, I thought she retired. I have retired. I'm just filling in this morning during this interim while we search for a new minister. So we begin with our opening words. Christmas is a risk for us to take. Shall we allow ourselves to be touched by sentiment, awakened by song and story, drawn into festivities where our joy depends on the goodwill of others? Dare we risk disappointment of hopes raised high and excited expectations? May we have the courage to celebrate this season in hope, joy, and most of all, in peace. Our chalice lighting. Here in the darkness of winter, we light our chalice. This sacred space is filled with hopes and prayers, love to be given and received, miracles to be witnessed. May this chalice light guide our footsteps until the light of the sun returns once more. Now we have a moment of prayer. The gifts that matter most have no weight. They're without substance, they cost no money. The gifts that matter more are given to us by the hand of God in grace. Moonlight on fresh fallen snow, frost delicately etched on window panes, the warmth of a crackling fireside, bright because who sits there? It's the aromas of food cooked with love, becoming a daily feast. The gifts that matter more are beyond price. They are life, health, love, security, family, friends, and community. Remembrances of those long separated. Memories of Christmas past, gone but not forgotten. This Christmas day is a new gift. It is the opportunity to create joyful memories of this Christmas that will be carried with us into the future. Anticipation of the new year to be, gift givers whom we love, the gift of life itself. The gifts that matter most have no weight. They cost no money. The gifts that matter more enrich us beyond measure. Amen. Our reader this morning is John.
Good morning. A very long time ago, perhaps 25 years ago, excuse me, I found this book. This is a new version. I think my old one is somewhere in a box in my apartment in France while we wait for it to sell. But this book was probably the best thing I found in my life in terms of religious writing, and I keep going back to it. So for today, I picked probably one of the slightly longer readings, but it's from Khalil Gibran, the prophet. And He's going to speak of love. He raised his head and he looked upon the people, and there fell a stillness upon them. And with a great voice he said, when love beckons to you, follow him, though his ways are hard and steep. And when his wings enfold you, yield to him, though the sword hidden among his pinions may wound you. When he speaks to you, believe in him. Though his voice may shatter your dreams as the north wind lays waste the garden. For even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. Like sheaves of corn, he gathers you unto himself. He threshes you to make you naked. He sifts you to free you from your husks. He grinds you to whiteness. He kneads you until you are pliant. And then he assigns you to his sacred fire, that you may become sacred bread for God's sacred feast. All these things shall love do unto you, that you may know the secrets of your heart, and in that knowledge become a fragment of life's heart. But if in your fear you would seek only love's peace and love's pleasure, then it is better for you that you cover your nakedness and pass out of love's threshing floor into the seasonless world, where you shall laugh, but not all of your laughter, and weep, but not all of your tears. Love gives naught but itself and takes naught but from itself. Love possesses, nor would it be possessed, for love is sufficient unto love. When you love, you should not say, God is in my heart, but rather, I am in the heart of God. And think not you can direct the course of love, for love, if it finds you worthy, directs your course. Love has no other desire but to fulfill itself. But if you love and must needs have desires, let these be your desires: to melt and be like a running brook that sings its melody to the night, to know the pain of too much tenderness, to be wounded by your own understanding of love, and to bleed willingly and joyfully, to wake at dawn with a winged heart and give thanks for another day of loving, to rest at the noon hour and meditate love's ecstasy, to return home at eventide with gratitude, and then to sleep with a prayer for the beloved in your heart and a song of praise on your lips.
Do you want to sit to the front there? Because it'd be handier if I had all of you together. Okay. Yeah, good idea. Now, some of you are older and some are very young. But when you were at school, did you learn the story of the Nativity? Did anyone do that, or did you all go to multi-denominational school where that didn't come into it? You learned it, did you? And when you learned the story, who was in that story? Just tell.
Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Jesus.
Anyone else? Did they have any visitors to them when baby Jesus was born? Three kings. And the shepherds. Well done. Does anyone else know the story? No? Who else came? Who told exactly the angel told the shepherds? So this teacher is a teacher in a primary school, and she's telling the children the story of the Nativity. And then she wants some peace and quiet, so she asks the children to draw pictures of it. The children are all drawing pictures, and they're very nice ones, and I brought in some Christmas cards. And these are very like the things they drew: Mary, Joseph, and baby Jesus. I bet you remember. Did you draw stories? Did you draw any pictures of the Nativity? No. Well, this teacher just wanted a bit of a quiet time to refresh her brain and got them to do that. And all the pictures were very like the story: baby Jesus in the manger, shepherds, angels, some animals from the crib. And the teacher was saying, oh, that's a lovely baby Jesus, and that's a lovely manger. And then one little boy came up and he had a very different picture. And this was the picture he drew for her. So I'm just going to show the adults here now. Can you see it? Right. Can the people in the gallery have a view of it? And it's an airplane. And the teacher was a bit flummoxed as to what the boy was about. And she said to him, she was very well trained, she says, "Tell me about your picture you've drawn." So he said, "It's very easy," he said. "There's Mary and baby Jesus and Joseph in the back of the plane." And she said to them, "Where are they going to?" He said, "That's the flight into Egypt." And she said, "Who's that at the front of the plane? See, there's somebody in the front of the plane." And the little boy says, "That's Pontius the pilot." Now, thank you for helping with that. And Denise is going to give out some gift book tokens. Our second carol is "Hear the Angels Sing." My reading is by a woman called Patrice K. Robson, and in this she is talking about the reaction when a congregation heard a reading by Robert Fulghum, that great Unitarian writer. And it's called "What I Really Want for Christmas." I recently attended a Christmas concert in a nearby church, and one of the readings included the following excerpt from a piece by Robert Fulghum. "I know what I really want for Christmas. I've known since I was 40 years old. I want wind-up mechanical toys that make noises and go round and round and do funny things. No batteries. Toys that need me to help them out from time to time. The old-fashioned painted tin ones I had when I was a child. That's what I want, but no one believes me, but it is what I want. Well, that is close, but it's not quite exactly it. It's delight and simplicity I want, foolishness and fantasy and noise, angels and miracles and wonder and innocence and magic. That's closer to what I really want. This is harder to talk about, but what I really, really, really want for Christmas is just this. I want to be 5 years old again for an hour. I want to laugh a lot and cry a lot. I want to be picked and rocked to sleep in someone's arms and carried up to bed just one more time. I know what I really, really want this Christmas. I want my childhood back. Now, no one is going to give me that, but I might at least give myself the memory of it if I try. I know that it doesn't make any sense, but since when is Christmas about sense anyway? It's about a child of long ago and far away. It's about the child of now, in the child in you and in me, waiting behind the door of our hearts for something wonderful to happen. A child who is impractical, unrealistic, simple-minded, and terribly vulnerable to joy. A child who does not need or want gifts of socks or slippers. This passage was heard by the mayor of the town and a very large congregation. The reader was a man in his 60s, and when he read the words, "I want to be picked up and rocked to sleep in someone's arms one more time," tears formed and rolled down his cheeks. He paused, looked out at the crowd of hundreds, and in this ultra-vulnerable moment, realized the crowd was with him. He smiled slightly, shrugged his shoulders and continued. I think he realized this was a safe environment for flowing tears, memories, and moments of tenderness. I'm sure many in the audience welled up too. I know I did, for him, for myself, for all of us, for dreams unrealized and yet to come. In that moment, I believe most of us became children again and yearned for the magic of Christmas. Magic we can create for the children inside ourselves and for the children around us, young and old. Reach inside and out of your side of yourself this Christmas season to touch the hearts of people around you. You will fill yourself with joy, and you may create memories for others. And after all, isn't that the magic of Christmas? Now we're going to have a time of meditation, and this will be followed by a time of silence. The meditation is by Thich Nhat Hanh. So sit in your seats comfortably and maybe close your eyes for a moment. And the words are, may I be peaceful, happy in mind and body. May I be free and safe. May I be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May I know how to look at myself with the eyes of understanding and love. May I be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy and happiness in myself. May I learn how to nourish myself with joy each day. May I not be caught in indifferent or in unwholesome states of mind. And for the people we love, may they be happy, light in mind and body, free and safe. May they be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May they know how to look to themselves with the eyes of compassion and understanding and love. May they be able to recognize and touch the seeds of joy in themselves. May they learn how to nourish themselves with joy each day. May they never be caught in unwholesome states of mind or caught in extremes of attachment or aversion. Now we will wish the same peace and joy to everyone in the world. We particularly remember those suffering from war. May all beings be peaceful, light, and happy in body and mind, free and safe. May they be free from anger, unwholesome states of mind and worries. May all beings know how to look at themselves with the eyes of understanding and love. May all beings be able to touch the seeds of joy and happiness in themselves. May all beings never be caught out in unwholesome states of mind, and may they know joy. Have some silence and then some music. The title of my address this morning is Christmas Messages, and just noticing how the messages of Christmas have changed in my lifetime, and I'm sure they will continue to change in the future. But just to see, we only notice these in retrospect, and it's interesting to see them. While most people love Christmas, there's a sizable number who find Christmas difficult. This may be because of painful childhood experiences or because of loss or trauma during the year. It may be that the person is just a bit of a grouch, someone not inclined to party. Christmas is an emotional time. No matter what our attitude is to Christmas, it has the ability to magnify life experiences, the good and the bad. And it's the time for tradition. As every family knows, if they do something two Christmases in a row, it's a tradition. Three, it's set in stone. And people say, well, we do it because we've always done it. And that's what people love, to do the old traditional things. And yet, as traditional as Christmas is, the Christmas and the messages that surround Christmas change over time, and this change only becomes obvious in retrospect. Growing up in a small town in Ireland, our Christmas started very close to the 25th of December. It began with a church choir visited each street in rotation over about a week. And it was a red letter occasion. The choir wore full robes. They brought the crib from the church with them. And this crib had life-size pieces in it, figures in it. And the whole thing was carried around in a cave as well. And it needed a generator. And the entirety was pushed, dragged, pulled on a two-wheeled vehicle that was then and still is now used to convey coffins from the church to the graveyard. When the choir arrived, though, everybody came out into the street. The choir sang and everyone joined in. The houses wouldn't have been very well decorated. The odd star here and there, a lot of stars, few candles, and the odd Christmas tree. And the Christmas message of my childhood was that the birth of Jesus initiated the process of redemption for humanity. And we believed every detail of that nativity story. We believed in hosts of angels bringing good news to the marginalized. We believed in the virgin birth, even if we were a bit hazy about those details. We believed in stars to be followed. And we believed that God loved us so much that he intervened directly in the affairs of the world that one time to save us. And of course, that was before television advertising came along. We knew nothing about things like the Queen's speech. That was a foreign country to us. It was the only message we heard. We believed that reindeers could fly, Santa brought presents to good children, and we enjoyed food that was exclusively eaten at Christmas time, puddings and cake, and turkey and ham. And alcohol was so exceptional in our house that one of the few memories I have of my grandfather is that one Christmas he drank a glass of Guinness. It was not a time of indulging in a lot of drink where I came from. And Christmas finished when the Christmas cake was gone. That was it. It was done and dusted within 2 weeks. When our children were young, the world of commerce was certainly making its presence felt at Christmas. But very much at that time, it was about making magic for children. Our family tradition was centered around a visit to Santa at Switzer's window at Christmas, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that. The window attracted a mob of excited children, and the window was decorated with mechanized scenes of elves making toys in Santa's workshop. And it was a magical time for lit grottos and things of the past. You know, it was very much about things of the past. And despite having left the Catholic Church, I was always drawn back to church on Christmas Day. And I wasn't alone in that. It was always packed on Christmas morning. But religion is now peripheral to to the lives of most people. And for the majority, the Christmas message now comes exclusively from advertising. And we have to remember that the job of advertisers is not to bring hope to humanity or to enchant children. It is to get us to spend money and buy things. Brown Thomas is now where Switzers once stood. The elves' workshop has definitely disappeared. I looked at Brown Thomas's window last year, and if you go online, you can still see pictures of it. There were figures of impossibly stylized, humanized figures, but they were so skinny and thin and tall, and they were just really hard to see them as real human beings. And there was one standing in front of a large quality street sweet box. And instead of Quality Street on it, it had the words Grafton Street instead of Quality Street. And this is what Switzers or Brown Thomas say about their 2023 window. Our Christmas 2023 display was the most extravagant, joyful, complete with a giant bespoke sweet tin emblazoned with the words Grafton Street. The energy of this Christmas display was exuberant, Moorish and playful, making it one of our favorites. It wouldn't have entered my list of favorite shop windows. It was just selling things for the sake of selling things. This year, Dublin City Council say about their offering, it's an experience like no other, where people of all generations can experience a specially commissioned, dynamic, colorful, imaginative light projections by leading artists throughout the city center. So all those traditions of the moving crib is back, but the animals are taken home and tucked into their stable every night. They seem to be disappearing. And I know age, you sort of say, oh, it was great in the old days. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that the messages we are getting every day, all day, are from a single source: buy things and you will be happy, and you'll have a wonderful Christmas. And all the reports, this morning there was a report of what the Pope said, but that was the first religious message I heard. I heard lots of reports about people are spending an average of 10% more this year. The average per household is 1,500 over Christmas. Shop footfall in Cork is absolutely brilliant, a little bit down in Dublin. There is nothing joyful or magical or happy in any of those messages. And of course, Christmas advertising starts immediately after Halloween. And that early start is driven by our reluctance to live in the present. We are constantly seeking novelty, that we have to be looking forward to something all the time, never content to live in the present, be that living a happy time or an ordinary time or just a wonderful time. And without exemption, these messages portray Christmas as a fairy tale of perfection. Decorations are themed and color coordinated. No one is overworked, impatient, stressed out. Christmas tables are filled with an obscenity of food. There isn't a singed turkey leg in sight. And people actually eat their sprouts. And families are all made up of thoughtful, happy people. And no one drinks too much or gets noisy in the evening. And not a single red-faced cook among them. And no dirty dishes piling up in the kitchen. And no leftovers to be put in the fridge. And it's all a fairy tale. You know, if the table is laden with all that food, someone has done it. Let's not leave it to one person to look after it. Of course, Santa has disappeared from the dialogue, and baby Jesus is most definitely relegated to yesterday's story. The festival is now so commercialized, it's not surprising that we want Christmas finished on Stephen's Day. Even before Christmas, the ads for holidays have started. The ads for the sale are on. The shops are open tomorrow. It's all bringing you ahead, and expecting novelty. And when we are looking forward to novelty, we're not in the present. We're not enjoying the moment we have. The persistent message beamed to us is firstly that happiness is found in consuming things, that more is better. And that is just untrue, and it is very wrong for the planet. The other message, the second one, is that there is some version of a perfect light, life that exists out there, and that it's achievable if we try hard enough. You know, if you buy the decorations and get them up and cook all the food and everything is color coordinated, that you will be happy and have this perfect life. Another message we are getting is that the world is filled with happy families that have achieved this perfection, and that is the greatest porky of all. The world is not full of happy families, it's full of families like yours and like mine. Overall, we are very good, but we can get grumpy and we can be a nuisance and all the rest. There are no perfect families out there. There's no perfect childhood out there. But the good news is that I'm going to remind you is that we are not tied to that commercial fairy tale. It's not too late, this is just Christmas Day, to forget the advertiser's messages and to celebrate Christmas as you want to. And like that reading this morning, Christmas is the time to revel in wonder and magic as children do. As we did before the world of ambition and responsibility robbed us of our imagination and our childhood. Children love mess. Forget order and neatness. Let there be messiness, because it's in the messiness that you will find the magic. So forget about those perfectly presented houses. They're not true. There are sets for doing ads. They're not real. Make your mess and enjoy it. And nature, go to the world of nature. That's where you will find amples of magic. Our ancestors placed such emphasis on this magical time that they built the tumulus at Newgrange to mark and capture its magic and its wonder. When you think about it, the tilt of the earth and how it orbits the sun creates the seasons and the hours of daylight and darkness. For 6 months now, each day has had fewer and fewer hours of daylight. That was until the 21st of December. On the 21st of December, daylight is at its shortest. But the 22nd had a partial part of a second longer daylight in it. And that will increase and increase now for 6 months. And the miracle of that return of daylight has never failed us yet. And that's better than magic of any light presentations on city buildings. The return of daylight has never failed us yet. And while we are waiting for the return of warmth and daylight, let's sit with the conditions we have now, with the darkness and the chill. Just let's sit with it. Hunker down. Look at the world of nature. It rests over the winter. It's time for us to take our ease. Stop running around. Munch over in your head what has happened in the year and where you are now. Recharge your batteries. This is the time to do that. The Celts believed that plants rest in winter, and we should rest too. Allow the mind to wander at will. Dare to dream a little and to sift through the experiences of the past year and to find any grace that exists there. Every experience of every sort has grace in it, and sometimes that grace is well hidden, but we have to look for it and find it. We may not believe that an actual star moved through the sky to guide the Magi to the manger, but the story is a metaphor for the belief that we each have our star to follow, our destiny to fulfill. The Buddha, Jesus, and every spiritual tradition teaches that the aim of religion is not pie in the sky when we die. The aim of religion is that we live life in its fullness here and now. When we follow our star or our destiny, not the one the advertisers tell us to follow, but to follow our own star, when we live the life we are meant to live, we will be our true selves, and in being yourself is true happiness found. So this Christmas, don't fuss. If there's a disaster, you laugh about it next Christmas. Follow your star, dream big, look for magic and wonder. Don't wait to begin living. You have to live every moment as it comes. Live the 12 days of Christmas so that you will reach the end of your days whenever they come and experience having really lived. Amen. There are very few notices, just to say that there's no tea and coffee. There is a new magazine, Uscult magazine, on the table for January 2025. Happy to take names. I need one or two, maybe three more readers for Sunday the 29th, if people could tell me or Will. And Denise our chair wanted to say some words.
Good morning. Just very quickly, on behalf of the Managing Committee, I just want to say thank you to a few people. I want to say thank you to the Managing Committee for all their very hard work during the year. I'd also obviously like to thank Josh and the choir for the beautiful music that they bring to our services, to Kevin and more recently Ayla, who have been our very careful caretakers this year, looking after us every Sunday and many times during the week in between. I want to thank everyone who has arranged access to the church for services, for events, for all the ongoing things that happen here between services. to Ball for publishing Uscult without fail, and likewise to Eileen for the weekly email that she sends to us all, and Pamela, who delivers our weekly meditation service here in the church, which is such an important midweek moment for a lot of people in the community. I also want to thank our Sunday Club volunteers, and to the parents who bring their children to Sunday Club. So as Bridget mentioned, she is our Minister Emerita. We are currently technically without a minister, but Bridget has been providing wonderful pastoral care to us during this interim period, and we'd be lost without her, but we would equally be lost without all of the people who have given up their time and their thoughts and their inspirations to us for our Sunday services. We have an amazing community here. Thank you all for being here, for coming on Sundays, for coming to our clubs and societies, and for being part of who we are here. Happy Christmas.
We're looking after the Capuchins this year again, and they're very grateful for our support. And in keeping with traditions, the old collection plates are being used today, and they were used in Great Strand Street the same year that Queen Victoria came to the throne, 1837, they were made. Traditions for Christmas. We have a final hymn. And it's him, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. Our blessing. This evening, night will fall early. Stars will shine in a velvety sky. Somewhere, a baby will be born. Tonight, may the world exist in love and peace, while glories stream from heaven afar. So be not afraid and be of good cheer. May each one of you have a very merry Christmas. May the future be free from all fears. Let us rest and allow ourselves to hear those angels as they sing to us. Amen.